good singing all the way around. What kind of shoes is in? They look comfortable, are they? That's a good deal. I caught my eye while you was up here singing. And so that's good, all right? All the way around, that's a good deal. What brand are they? Oh, never mind, I didn't know. I didn't know we was going to have to go to a shoe cobbler to find out. Anyhow, that's good enough. That's good enough. You look sharp, young man. All right, let's see here. Take your Bible, if you will. We're going to be looking in the book of Luke. In the book of Luke in chapter number 6, if you find the place you're able to stand, we'll be looking there in that chapter. In the book of Luke in chapter number 6, it's about verse 25. The Beatitudes, he's got these listed starting with about verse number 20. And then in verse number 25, he says, "Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. And woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you with cheer, love your enemies, and do good to them which hate you." You can circle that right there. And beside it, you can say, "Preacher's not good at that." It's not good. It's not good for me. I can tell you, I believe it. I believe you ought to try to practice it. But that's not one of my better suits. But I say unto you that woe unto you, in verse number 26, woe unto you in verse number 6, when all men speak well of you, for so did the fathers to the prophets, false prophets that is. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Oh, yeah. Shame on us for laughing. And notice that, and him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give unto every man that asketh of thee and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be in the house of God. We want to thank you, thou art God, beside thee there is none else. We pray you'd save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach on laughing in the face of God. This Bible said that whenever you begin to look into the lesson that we have said, woe unto them that are full, you're going to hunger, and woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn. You know, in the verses that precede this and chapters and all of that business, you're going to find we talk about Jesus. He's a man that came from heaven. He was born of a virgin. And as a result of that, you're going to find out he come to free man from sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. In this chapter here, he talked about a woman that had been diseased and how that he freed her. In this chapter here, he talked about a daughter that had fallen asleep and that for all practical purposes was dead, and he's able to speak her back to life. And whatever he says, don't be afraid. This woman, she's not dead. She sleepeth. Over there in the book of Mark chapter 5, you can find it over there in about verse number 40. And they laughed him to scorn. And boy, he put all of them out that laughed at him. Listen, if you ever want to see God move, be careful what you laugh about and what you don't laugh about. Now, you know, in the day and hour that we're living in, is that these are people that were facing that God, they were laughing in the face of God. And so he put them all out and brought that young damsel back and presented it to the father. I want to say to you that, if you will, that proper laughter is good for you in life. Did you know the Bible said that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine? I got to say to you that, if you will, I don't know about you, but I like to laugh. And sometimes I laugh when I ought to be crying, cry when I ought to be laughing. But I want to tell you right now, his laughter doeth good like a medicine. And let me say to you that, if you will, I certainly don't want to be laughing in the face of God. In fact, as the Bible said, that if you will, they laughed him to scorn. That means they openly disrespected him. They openly contempted him. They openly disdained him. They openly despitefully used him. I got to tell you right now is you're going to find there's going to be people that'll do you and I that way up and down the road of life. But let me say to you that, if you will, that we live in a world that somehow or another they're just cold and indifferent toward God and the things of God. You know what that means, to be indifferent? They just don't care one way or the other. I used to use an illustration many moons ago, years ago, and I'm pretty sure it still works the same way that it always did. Young preacher got out, and he was knocking on a few doors and inviting people to church, and he said, I want to ask you a question. Is that if you died today, do you know that you'd go to heaven? And some old moss back looked at him and said, I don't know, and I don't care. Another one guy knocked on the door and he thought, I'm going to change it up. And he said, do you think that maybe the two worst things in America are ignorance and indifference? And he looked at him and he says, I don't know and I don't care. When you talk to people about their soul's condition, where they're headed, what they're doing, how they're living, and they don't know and they don't care, that's ignorance and that's indifference. Now, let me tell you what happens is that whenever we begin to look in the Bible, you hadn't got to go across the street, around the block, to be able to find people that can quote you the verse. They can't tell you where it's at or what it means. And they'll say, judge not, lest you be judged. Did you know that the Bible says this? The Bible doesn't say not to judge, but it says judge righteous judgment. You're not to judge what you think it is or what you might wish it could be. Did you know that the Bible said that all that are spiritual judgeth all things? You show me somebody don't judge anything, I'll show you somebody's not spiritual according to this Bible. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out, you know what, what's wrong in this ignorant and indifferent world that we're living in. You know the reason why people are indignant about it, why they're mad about it? Because they're mad at God. He's not done something they wanted done. He's not brought something to pass that they were asking about. As a result of it, they're ignorant of the scripture and they're mad when God works according to the word of the Lord. I got to say to you that when you begin to look in this lesson right here, if you ever notice how amazing that you become when you really look at the Bible seriously and you see much of it, if not most of it, applies to you? I know every time I'm reading it, buddy, I think of you. No, every time I'm reading it, I'm thinking, my Lord, that's me right there altogether. God wants to do that. God wants you to make a personal application about it. In the lesson that we're looking at, you know what's wrong with the average churchgoer? They're pot plant Baptists. You know what a pot plant is? Well, here's one right here. It's not real, but here's a pot plant right here. And by that, you know, the Bible said that a man that loves God, the man that loves righteousness, he'll not be like a pot plant, but he'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. He'll be one that's standing there and bringing forth fruit in season and out of season, shedding and next fruitful season. You see what I'm talking about? But, you know, that tree will be there year after year, day in and day out. It's not like a pot plant. Average Baptist, you know, it's like this right here. Well, I'm going to go to church here until I'm tired of it. Oh, I say, you're just a pot plant, aren't you? Well, I didn't plan to stay long when I got here to start out with, because you're a pot plant Christian. See? You know, whenever we came here, and I've tried to leave several times, and I don't know about you, but you know, I'm telling you right now, people calling, people cussing you, and people on the phone, and this and that, and first one thing and ten. And people trying to tell me, you know, hey, your wife and kids can stay, but we'd like you to leave. Actually, they were in where your wife and kids can stay. We'd like you to drop dead, if you don't mind. I want to say to you that, if you will, it's not the best of circumstances. Not a lot of love there from the community. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that I'd made up my mind, Lord, let us start the work of God wherever you'd have us get it done. And I'd like to be able to see my family and their families grow up in the love and nurture and admonition of the Lord. And buddy, God has let me reap and watch and see fruit, not only to my children and grandchildren, but to your children and grandchildren. And we have been staying here by the stuff, by the grace of God, because I don't know when I'm going to heaven, but I'm going. And when I do go to heaven, I plan to go from Nacogdoches County. You see what I'm talking about? And I wanted to say to you that I wanted to see the fruitfulness of God working in the behalf of our church family. You see? I don't try to get down on my knees and pray and ask God, Lord, I want you to pray for my, pray. No, not them. They're not a member of my family. No. We pray for each and every one of us and our children and our grandchildren, just like they're our very own children from our very own bosom. You know the reason why? I can tell you there's been people that have been praying for us, but this morning they're like a pot plant. They've been potted somewhere else. They're sitting on somebody else's table. But the reason why we're still in the run and still in the running and by the stuff, dear friend, we're like a tree that's been planted by the river of water. Psalm 1 will tell you that. It brings forth fruit in due season. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, here's what we're going to be able to see. We live in a world that somehow or another that's ignorant of the word of the Lord. They don't want to know anything about it. And they're mad at God and they're mocking God and the people of God. And they're miserable and trying to drown out their misery. You know what they try to drown it out with? Brother Randy, he taught about it in Sunday school this morning. They're trying to use sex to drown it out. Booze to drown it out. Dope. Psychology. I want to say to you, the Bible said that whenever you begin to look into it, that one of these days is God is going to laugh at those that have been laughing at him. Now watch this here. Somebody's going to say, well, you know, God's got a sense of humor too. Well, it doesn't say that in the Bible. And it doesn't say anything about God laughing in the Bible. But God shall laugh one of these days. Here you are sitting here and you're listening and over again, God's been knocking on your heart's door. And it's like you've laughed in his face and said no to God and said yes to the world, the flesh, and the devil. I want to say to you, God's not laughing at you this morning, but one of these days, if he comes and you're without Christ, he's going to laugh at you. God said, then you're going to call upon him, and I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to laugh at your calamity when your fear comes. I was thinking about in the lesson that we're looking at is that God's laughing at their plans. You know, over there in the book of Psalm, chapter number 2, and about verse number 4, the kings and rulers of the earth were laughing unto the Lord and about him and about his anointed and so forth and on. And they had a different plan. And the Bible said over there that he that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The heathen are raging, but it doesn't bother God. Make no mistake about it, dear friend, while rulers take counsel against the Lord and his anointed. You ever notice how bad they hate the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, they don't mind you talking about God in an impersonal sense, but they just don't like the Lord God of glory and his anointed, the Lord Jesus Christ. They've got a plan to serve themselves. They've got a plan that needs no absolutely explanation as long as Jesus Christ is not connected with their desire. I want to say to you that if you will please, is that these people that are full of rage are Christ rejectors, they're God deniers. And as a result of that, one of these days they've been running from God for so long, God's going to laugh. God shall laugh. He's not laughing right now, but he shall laugh. And let me tell you, God shall finally speak in his wrath upon those crowd that's been laughing all this time. All right, I want to hasten on real quickly that, if you will. The Bible said over there in the book of Psalm chapter 2, don't turn there, verse 11 through 12, kiss the son lest he be angry. Now, the last thing you ever want to do, man, woman, or boy, girl, is make God angry at you. That's the last thing you'd ever want to do. I want to say to you that one of these days you're going to find out that there's evildoers that are all around. There's a passage over there in Psalm 37. It's about verse number 13 when he talks about God shall laugh at their day. these evildoers that are all around us. You're going to find they're going to be cut down like grass. They're going to be plotting against him. But as a result of that, he's going to plow them up. And let me tell you, he seeth their days going to be coming. I was thinking about in this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that he shall laugh at their noises. Now, look in Psalm, if you've got time there, over in Psalm chapter number 59, and about verse number 8, and there's a passage that we ought to look at. In the book of Psalm, in chapter number 59, there's a passage there, verse 8, and here's what he said. But thou, Lord, shalt laugh at them. Notice, if you will, who them is. Look in verse 6. They return at evening and they make a noise like a dog. They go about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth and swords are in their lips. And who say they doeth hear? Is anybody going to be listening to what they're doing? But, O Lord, thou shalt laugh at them and thou shalt have all of the heathen in derision. Look in verse number 12. For he says, for the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak, and consume them in thy wrath, and consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob, and unto the ends of the earth, Salaam. I got to tell you right now, is God lets a lot of stuff slide, doesn't he? But he hadn't forgot about it. God's not going to be the loser. God absolutely is going to be on the winning end because of the fact that he's leading this thing and he's glorious and victorious all the way through. Over there in the book of Proverbs, there's something there that in chapter number 1 in the book of Proverbs, you'd like to turn there, you can. But this Bible lesson is that you'll find that this crowd that's wicked, without hope, without God, they don't want nothing to do with him. In other words, they're not interested in right living or the righteous Savior. We read over and over again in Proverbs in chapter number 1, about verse 24. The Bible said, verse 22, let's look at that. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof, and behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated the knowledge, and he said, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, and they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, boy, this is the passage we ought to be. Whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that the world, while we used to be on the laughing side of it, now we're on the loving side. We're on the fact we've been washed by the blood, born by the Spirit of God from above, and born into the family of God. God called us one day and knocked on our heart, and we said, yes, Lord, and by grace through faith, we received him in the free pardon of sin. I want to tell you, he canceled this group. He counseled with them, but they just wouldn't hear it. Don't you want to be able to know how to be saved and what you need in Christ? They just wouldn't hear it. I want to say to you, God said, all right, you've laughed at me, now I'm going to laugh at you. Your fear is going to come. Yes, it is. And when it does come, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to laugh at you. I want to say to you, the day coming, and you'll find out, is that whenever it does, their fear is going to come. There's a passage over there in the book of James, and I'll look at it real quickly. And it's in the book of James, and it's in chapter number 4 in the passage there that we're looking at. In verse number 8, here's what he said. Draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning and that your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, I want to close with a passage over in the book of Isaiah. In the day and hour that we're living in, and by the way, is that most of the time when we're talking about people and we're talking about Baptist folk, because we are, we know more about Baptists than anybody else that we might know up and down the road of life. And let me say to you that, if you will, please, as God is knocking on your heart's door at some time or another. You're either going to say yes to God or no to God, one or the other. You're either, when God's knocking, you're going to give an excuse or you're going to embrace him, one or the other. And let me say to you that when you begin to look into it, is that as Baptist preachers, we all know that up and down the road of life. And here's what happens across the country. Not here, but across the country. It's got to where preachers are acting in desperation. They so want to make somebody move that the Bible said over there that I'll give you pastors according to mine heart. They'll feed you with knowledge and understanding, not emotion. If when you hear the word of the Lord and God gives knowledge and God gives you understanding, it makes you want to come to him as an empty-handed beggar. But if all you're doing is moving in desperation because of the moment, it's not going to last. It'll fizzle out pretty quickly. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out is that I've been in churches where that they preached, and when they got through, the sermon was pretty good. And then nobody was moving, so they went in desperation trying to get a move. By that, here's the way they would do it. One preacher there, he had sung Just As I Am. And if you look in the right book, they've got six verses of Just As I Am. He was going through it for the fourth time, which means they've sung 24 verses of Just As I Am. Nobody's moving. He finally breaks down and said, I just want to say it before we sing the next verse. If there's anybody here that loves your mama, you see what I'm talking about? You'll find out is that one of the greatest preachers in my mind that I enjoy, and that I never listen to anymore, but I enjoyed him every time I could. He preached some of the greatest sermons that I've ever heard and seemed like had either enough adrenaline, but you know, I pretty much know the difference between adrenaline and the touch of God. But here's the guy, but I'm talking about preaching some of the greatest sermons. And then in order to get somebody to move, because he needs to put it in the newsletter. You see what I'm talking about? Tell some kind of kid burning up in a house or burning up in a car that had been to church and been to a meeting and this and that and had the chance to come to God and somehow or another didn't. Now they're burning up in a car and all that. Now, I don't drop this on you like a ton of bricks, and I don't give a rip where you hail from or nothing. If the preaching of the word of the Lord does not give you God-given faith and God-given repentance, no sad story is going to make it happen. It's that simple. I'm not saying that it's wrong to use an illustration and to give an illustration. I'm just saying, dear friend, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Now, a sad story makes me cry. But when my tears are all dried, if I hadn't had repentance and faith, I'm going to be the same shape that I was in before that ever took place. I want you to notice another thing that, if you will, I was listening to a guy, and I can't tell you where he pastored or anything, but he's a pretty good preacher, and he got down to business. And then because of the fact the special music was touching his heart, he wanted to go, and so I listened to that five times in a row. Don't you want to be saved? Sing verse 25 of Just As I Am again. Notice in Isaiah chapter 5, we're going to turn there quickly, and we're going to be looking at it. And this Bible said in chapter 5, verse number 18, I've warned to them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin, as it were, with a cart rope. And that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. Let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come that we may know it, and warn to them that call evil good and good evil and so forth and on. I want to tell you something right now. God will work if you'll be faithful to God and you'll be faithful to the word of the Lord. God will be faithful to do exactly what he promised that he would do. And as a result of that, when God comes knocking on your heart's door, if God's granted you repentance and God's given you faith, you turn from yourself and your sin and turn to the Savior. And I'll tell you what he'll do is he'll save your soul from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's from all the way from hell all the way to heaven. And it won't matter what passage that they're singing in Just As I Am. It won't matter how many times they've been through or if they went none. You know, most of the people that I know of that get saved and really saved, I'm talking about, most time they'll come knocking on my office door. I don't talk to you, preacher. I need to talk about God's been dealing with me for some time now. Well, hey, hold on a minute now. Can you hold? I had a preacher literally that we were preaching at a conference in one time years ago, and I'm not against none of that now. When I mention that, I'm not against that. I'm not trying to, there's some that are good and all that, and I've just had my turn and all that at it. But nonetheless, here's what the pastor said. Now watch this. Pastor said, you know what we're going to do is we're going to have three preachers. And after the third preacher, we're going to have an invitation. And the first preacher got through and all that business there, and I thought it was great. No, it wasn't me that preached then, but whoever it was great. Then the next preacher got up, buddy, and he just felt like he was so full of God and full of himself and full of, and he got up and got to preaching. And he just felt like that I'm going to have an invitation after I get through preaching, because I want him to come forward during this series of three preachers and I want it to be on me. And so he just felt led of the Lord and not one soul moved. And then we had the third one. And as a result of that, you'll find is that by then we're exhausted. I used to go to a preacher's meeting there. And at midnight, he'd be calling on the last preacher. And you know what I do whenever I go to one of them like that? How's that say? You can get to me once and shame on you. If you get to me twice, shame on me. See? I just said all that to be able to say this. There's but one way to be able to get born again from the lost condition that we were born naturally in. And that's when God comes knocking on our heart's door for us to have repentance and us to have faith in the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, plus nothing or minus nothing. Now, as we get ready to sing an invitation song here this morning, let's have our song director come. Let's have our musicians come, Father. We ask your blessings upon the reading of thy word. There may be a man, a boy, a girl. Maybe God spoke to their heart on Wednesday night. Maybe it was back in a lesson. Maybe, Lord, it was this morning. Maybe it's been numerous times. Lord, if there's one lost and undone without God, may you trouble their soul. And may they come as we get ready to sing this invitation hymn. Now bless the word to every heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What number is it?
Page number 203.
203. If you need to come, you better come quickly on the very first stanza.